Welcome to the Reiki Show, hosted by Bronwyn and Franz Diener of the International House of Reiki. Bronwyn and Franz teach Reiki around the globe and are the authors of the Reiki Sourcebook, the Japanese Art of Reiki, the Reiki Techniques card deck, and the soon-to-be-released A to Z of Reiki. The music you are listening to, Reiki Khan, is available at the International House of Reiki website, www.reiki.net.au. Hi, my name's Bronwyn.
And I'm Franz.
And today we are honoured to have with us Professor John Stevens. Professor Stevens is a professor of Buddhist studies and is also an Aikido instructor at Tohoku Fukushi University in Japan. He is an author and he's written numerous books on Buddhism, Zen, Aikido, and Asian culture in general. Today we'll be asking him about our personal practice, how we can improve that from a Japanese philosophical background. Well, the first question that I would have for you today, Professor Stevens, is about the cosmology of Aikido. Is that cosmology is it within the Japanese culture, or is it something separate from that?
As you know, in Asia especially, the most important thing is experience and then philosophy and then cosmology. So the view of Aikido in Japanese, the Uchukan, how to look at the universe, is based on the founder's experience, what he realized. So it's a combination. He was a modern man, so Western philosophy, Eastern philosophy is all contained within the tradition. The most important thing in Aikido cosmology is su, the seed syllable, and it's very similar to the idea in modern physics of the Big Bang, where the universe is created. But more strictly speaking, all of us come from a seed. Every single human being comes from a very tiny seed, white from the father, red from the mother. And as we develop, as we become part of this world, come into existence, and it will pass out of existence again. So the cosmology is based on his experience, his understanding of the way the world works, and the way the universe functions. From a tiny seed, all of us grow, come forth, live a life, and then disappear again, and perhaps come back.
And in Aikido cosmology, there's often the concept of heaven and earth, the two opposites. Can you maybe explain a little bit about that?
Not so much in Aikido cosmology. It's more fire and water, which can be interpreted as heaven and earth. So fire is the active element, ka, and water is mi, kami. So the divine, yin and yang, heaven and earth, fire and water is most important. So all the techniques are based on fire and water, combining the two. And when they're in complete harmony, Aikido means total harmony, complete integration. So between heaven and earth, high and low, your partner, yourself, the universe, oneself have to come in together into complete and total integration.
How do you see that you create this harmony between these two different forces?
Well, in the practice of Aikido, you need need another human being to work with. We can do many, in Zen meditation, for example, it's you and the universe, which is hard enough. But in Aikido, it's you and a partner, someone to work with. You cannot understand Aikido unless you have somebody to deal with, and then you have to harmonize. If they come on with a lot of fire, you have to adjust and come on with a lot of water, and vice versa. So these are all tools for us. The techniques are tools, are devices that we use to harmonize. And often when you're sitting in meditation, you can bliss out fairly easily. But when you do Aikido, it's a reality check. You have to deal with another human being who's trying to hit you over the head, for good reasons, of course. But the idea of actually working, and you can tell each time. Each time is different. Some people are very flexible. Some people are very stiff. Some people are very tall. Some people are very short. There's male and female, young and old, in an Aikido dojo. So we have to harmonize, blend with all those people.
And do you have a practice that you do in Aikido without other people?
Yeah, so we start out, and our style is we have warm-up, that's individual, you know, and then we have breath meditation, heaven and earth meditation, breath of heaven, breath of earth, your own human breath. Then we do Kototama, sacred syllable chanting, which is individual. But then we have to work with a partner. So we can spend 20 minutes or so warming up by ourselves, but then we need someone to work with.
Can you explain a little bit more about the concept of Kotodama, what you just mentioned before?
Kotodama just means sacred sounds, and in any culture, here in Australia, among the Aborigines, in Japan, in Gregorian chant in Europe, for example, the sounds have special meanings, and the sounds correspond to higher truths. In Aikido, as I mentioned, we have the seed sound su. In Asia and other parts of Asia, it's often om is the primordial sound. In Aikido, we use the sound su. Then it's the vowels, different parts of our body, throat, heart, stomach. It's comparatively simple. It's just the way the sounds resonate in your body, and they bring forth certain powers.
You talk about certain powers. What kind of powers are we talking
about? Powers meaning being more open. Often we're closed and distracted in our life. So the reason we practice any spiritual discipline or any discipline that involves the body and mind, we have to return to the source. And one very good way of doing that is doing Kotodama, just reciting the sounds. When people gather all over the world, past and present, they sing or chant. The sounds are important to bring out the best, what's most important inside of you.
And it matters which sounds you use?
No. We have certain sounds that have been found to be more powerful than others over the centuries. But there's a very funny story. I can do it very quickly. It was a Tibetan woman, unlettered, and she had learned the prayers improperly. She didn't know the proper pronunciation, but she was a very effective healer. Then her son came back and taught her, no, you're saying it all wrong. You've got to pronounce them this way. And when she pronounced them the right way, her healing didn't work anymore. So it's not the sounds themselves. It's the intention and the projection of ki or whatever it is. So the sounds are not as important as the intention, the feeling behind them.
Yes, and could you tell us a little bit more about intention in your practice?
Yeah, so you can tell everyone, it's easy to talk a good story, but I can tell also myself when I'm actually doing the techniques, if there's a struggle, if there's resistance, if it's not clean, if it's not smooth. So in Aikido, if we're talking specifically about that practice, that you, when you're working with a partner, you can tell if you did it roughly or didn't do it well, or there's no harmony there. You can feel that, you know that. So that's how we use the techniques. That's the intention behind it, trying to be it. So the best technique is no technique. And if you're a partner and you're being thrown, for example, and you think, how did I get here? Why am I lying on the ground? Without pain, without, you don't realize what happened. And that's the ideal in Aikido.
I heard you talking once before about transcending the technique. What do you mean by that?
Again, since we're human beings, we need techniques, we need devices, we need forms to approach the practice. The ideal is to become one with the technique. No longer the technique is outside of you. You are the technique. The way you move is the technique. And that's the goal when we train, in any discipline, I believe.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's about using the technique as a ritual. And
as a ritual, as a device, as a tool.
Yeah.
Well, waza, in Japanese, technique, can also be translated as tool or trick that we use to get...
To get where we need to go to.
To go, yes. So, and in Buddhism, you know, we use the boat to get to the other shore, but once you get to the other shore, we don't need the boat anymore. So it's the one religion that we're trying to get rid of, the religion. You're not using it. The techniques are very valuable when we're crossing the stream, but on the other side, we should let go.
You know, I think that perseverance is very important, and I think that within the Japanese philosophy of practice, that it's very important. Could you tell us a little bit about that, why you think that might be the case?
Well, I think often people translate bu in martial art. I prefer the translation of commitment. It's always easy not to go to practice. You're too busy. You're too tired. You're too sick. You're too hungover. there's thousands of reasons not to go to the dojo. But you need the commitment that I'm going to do this to the end. And it's always the real challenge is when you are sick, when you are tired, when you are distraught, and you have to go every day, good day, bad day. This is the important commitment, bravery, to win truly over yourself to the end. Fight the good fight, in Christian terms, not give up. So this is very important for training. Is that how good you are, how skillful you are? It's a just go. And I've been training every day for 35 or 40 years, and no one has an easy life. Everyone is busy. The real challenge is to go when you don't want to go, when you're not in good condition. So that's very important in Japanese culture. And I think any place, the idea of training, not giving up, no matter what, is the key to success.
Even though I might have thought of it as a Japanese sort of principle, I guess it is also a more Western principle as well.
Both. It's both. Mm. Yeah, it's both. But there's always good excuses not to do these things.
And do you have any hints on how practitioners can work with that and try to develop their perseverance?
Don't give up. Yeah, fight the good fight. And we have a saying in Aikido, Masakatsu, which means true victory. The real victory is not to give up, to continue. That's the hardest struggle. Even your life is not going to be easy. That's the first principle of Buddhism. Life is not true. Life is suffering, and things are going to happen to you. And the commitment, the bravery to be, the bravery to finish is most important.
Thank you.
Could you tell a little bit about the importance of working with the Hara Center?
That's also, I think, important. Probably more so in the Asian traditions, the hara, your belly. I like to use that translation, your center. And in Japan, and Kotodama theory, taka ama hara, is heaven is in your body, is in your lower abdomen, and that's where you're born. Umbilical cord comes from, and where you're attached to your mother, attached to the universe. So, the primary training in Aikido is to first settle down in your hara before you start. Move from your hara, move from your base. Again, it's a little difficult to explain. You have to actually do it, and sit. Be settled. Be centered is the short version.
I think a lot of people nowadays, in particular in Western countries, try to focus a lot more on the energy in the head because of trying to maybe see images or be more intuitive. But most importantly, I think it's very much to be in the Hara Center because that gives a much broader foundation and a stronger foundation.
Yes. So I'm here for the Zen Art Exhibition at the Art Gallery of New South Wales. And in my talks, I always emphasize that I first understand the paintings intellectually, what they mean, decipher the inscriptions. But when I truly understand them, I understand them with my belly, not with my head. So that's very important. Look at the paintings from deep within you rather than trying to analyze them from our historical perspective or whatever.
And you get a completely different meaning from them.
Visceral, complete. It's a full-body experience when you understand it that way. And that's what they're meant for, to really understand them within, what's inside of you. Yeah.
Could you tell a little bit about the concept of misogi?
Misogi is purification. It's akin to a baptism in the West, but it's a baptism every day. So when we practice Aikido or do meditation or whatever it is, it's the sense of returning to the source, cleansing yourself. And so we have all of Aikido is misogi, the founder told us. Every time we practice, the sweat is misogi, the dojo is misogi, and the purification of body and mind. So it's a restoration each time you train. So it's like being baptized every day, a new birth.
We know very little about the founder of the system of Reiki, the practice that we do. And, you know, our particular interest is in trying to research that more and to find out about the Japanese philosophy and culture and how Reiki fits into that. Apparently, he also did misogi. And I was just wondering if you could tell us, if you know anything, a little bit about the spirituality and what was happening at the beginning of the 20th century in Japan, because that's when he developed Reiki.
So misogi is not just Aikido. It's all of it's more Shinto-based. And I know the misogi they actually did in the waterfall or by the ocean. And there was a revival of misogi in the 19th century, and partly in reaction to the modernization of the of Japan, going back to the source. Misogi means essentially becoming one with the kami again, with the divine. So Reiki is spiritual ki, spiritual energy. It's during the day you're distracted and working and doing all those things, and to go back to the source again, to return to where you should be. They have these different kinds of misogi practices. And then from that, then you can develop your special powers or your healing power, for example, your Reiki. I'm not sure about the Usui, right? Mr.
Yeah,
Usui.
Yeah.
It's not impossible that he knew the founder of Aikido, and or they met somewhere, or with Onisaburo Deguchi or those kind of people. Some of the people are quite secretive, you know, so it's hard to find out a lot about what happened.
We found that out.
Yeah. You found that? Yeah, yeah. And also, a lot of things were destroyed during the war. I did a tried to do research on the a karate teacher, and his dojo was destroyed in the war. And he lived from, he was from Okinawa. And everything was destroyed there. Everything. 90% of the country was destroyed. So there's nothing left. It was very, very difficult to find anything about him.
Yeah.
That happens. Yeah.
I think so too. In Japanese culture, it's much more close than Western kind of culture to do research.
Yeah, and a lot of things, you know, a lot of things are kuden. Do you ever hear that word? It means oral instruction.
Yeah.
The most things are only imparted, even in Aikido we have kuden, things that are person to person, heart to heart, and would be never written down. And so a lot of the transmission is oral, and you have to be taught by someone, and they would never be written down or talked about. It's secret in the sense of being not secret from other people, but only have to be based on experience. Rather than writing books or things like that. So that's why sometimes you can't find out.
That's right. You learn it as you go along.
As you go along, and then it's things that are told you. They're not necessarily profound, but they're just that he has to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak, we say in American English, from somebody who heard this. That's how the Buddhist sutras begin with, thus I have heard, you know, and they'd be written down much later than actually when Buddha taught, because they were all it was passed on orally.
You were a Buddhist priest for about 10 years as well. And what kind of branch of Buddhism were you a priest?
Soto Zen. But I trained, I used to be quite serious. So I trained in many different forms of, other forms of Japanese Zen. I did some Shinto training, some Yamabushi training in the mountains, waterfall training, things like that. So rather than study them intellectually or through books, I actually went to places to practice as well.
I think that's definitely as well the way to go. I mean, we can understand things intellectually, but by really practicing it, we come from a whole different place.
Tasting it, yeah. it's very, very different. And, it's, you know, it's some good experiences, some bad experiences, that's true. Some very good teachers I felt, some not so good. But that's also part of your training, you know, going and see for yourself, see firsthand. Yeah.
Can you tell a little bit more about Jambushi?
Yamabushi?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they're the there's the samurai part, samurai aspect of Japanese culture with the sword culture and the bushido, and the mystical aspect of Japanese culture with the mountain ascetics, the wizards. And there's a combination of Taoism, Shintoism, esoteric Buddhism, and they used their symbol as a staff. You know, they weren't supposed to have weapons, but they needed protection from wild boars and highwaymen and all that kind of thing. So. Those kind of techniques, that meditation, meditation techniques, religious approach is more from the mountains, more mystical, more hidden, whereas the samurai culture was more Confucian, more controlled. So in Aikido and in any spiritual tradition, most spiritual traditions in Japan, you have both aspects, the samurai aspect and the mountain ascetic aspect, the Yamabushi aspect.
Well, thank you very much for this interview. We really enjoyed that. It was really informative. And
a lot of information.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's fantastic. And I know that the people, you know, Reiki people are really craving to find out about Japan and how Reiki fits into that picture. So it would be really helpful. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.